Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A Monday to look back on the Sunday slate in week number 9 of this 2024 NFL season. One game to go on this Monday night inside Arrowhead, and then the opening half of this NFL season is in the books. What have we learned halfway through this year? That is what we will figure out on this Monday, recapping the entirety of the Sunday slate. It was the opening Saturday in November. Halloween weekend got spooky in college football. A ton of ranked teams go down once again, and of course, we'll go around the association. We'll talk about everything you need to know. And DRS on the hardwood today. 356 Division I men's and women's college basketball games to start the 2024-25 season. Donnie Wrightside is fired up. He will be up for each and every one of those 356, even 11:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight. A top 10 tilt out in Spokane between Gonzaga and Baylor.
Yeah, since I don't get home till 1:30 on Monday morning, so I'll technically be up for every single one of those basketball games and be able to see the finishes there. But also, like, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did it really fall here? Boy, I got some bones to pick with college basketball, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But what an unbelievable football weekend. And if you watch any of the videos out there, my favorite maybe, not the Jason Kelce video, it was actually from a head football coach of Penn State named James Franklin, who rang the bell with another loss to leave that stadium. I believe he rings that bell every time he wants a cash advance on an extra 3 to 4 years of his contract, and I believe he's getting that. Look, Penn State is Happy Valley. They love that loss. They love James Franklin. They love never being on the national precipice here of a championship, and congratulations to them. They're happy once again on a Monday, Ben.
James Franklin making nearly $10 million a year, a million for every loss against Ohio State in his 11 seasons at the helm in State College. We'll talk college football and that top 5 tilt inside Beaver Stadium in just a moment. But we start with the Sunday slate around the National Football League. DRS, Kansas City, that being the Chiefs, ends out this Week 9 action on a Monday. They're the only undefeated team left in the NFL. They've won 2 consecutive Super Bowl championships. But I do think there is an argument that the best team right now in the NFL might be from Detroit. The Lions go to Green Bay in a wet, windy, and sloppy Sunday in Lambeau, outdoors, mind you, and wins big. 24-14, easily covering as a 2.5-point favorite against the Packers.
Unbelievable. And by the way, Detroit's a dome team. You can't play outside, Ben, on a slick surface in the rain and cold weather at Lambeau. You can't do that as a dome team. You couldn't tell me yesterday who was the actual dome team, because it wasn't Detroit. They were built for the conditions and built for the ground game and made opportunistic interceptions, which turned into touchdowns, which ended that game early. I've been telling people for weeks now, Detroit is my squad. Even on X/Twitter today, I put maybe a dozen or so bets in on Detroit to go to the Super Bowl here. Just chipping away, Ben, $10, $25, $50. This is the best team. This is the best team. I love the Eagles, right? This is the best team by a wide margin in the NFC. They will go to the Super Bowl.
7-1 right now for Detroit. They have covered in all 7 wins. Elsewhere in the competitive NFC North, the Lions improved to 7-1. The Packers fall to 6-3. The Vikings get back in the win column after starting perfect 5-0 and then dropping 2 consecutive games on Sunday night in the Twin Cities. The Vikings and Sam Darnold overcome 3 turnovers for Sammy D to toss 3 second half touchdown passes as the Vikes edge out Indianapolis and Joe Flacco, 21-13. Minnesota covers as a 5.5-point home favorite.
Brian Flores is a terrible head coach, but an unbelievably talented defensive coordinator. Boy, he was on it last night, bringing pressure to that statue in the pocket, Joe Flacco. Nice win for Minnesota because 5-0 was awesome. 5-2 wasn't great. 6-2 on the way up now.
Yeah, they looked really good. And Justin Jefferson, 137 receiving yards as well. Nice. Disastrous year continues for the Dallas Cowboys. Yesterday on the road in Atlanta, the Cowboys have now dropped 3 in a row, including 2 consecutive on the road. Dallas is 3-5. The Falcons are 6-3. Atlanta covers at home, winning by 6, 27-21 as a 3-point favorite against the Cowboys.
Falcons are going to win the NFC South. I said at the start of the year, it didn't look too great. Now it does. Everybody else is injured and stinks except the Atlanta Falcons. And now you know who's injured and stinks? It's the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Dak Prescott with a hamstring injury. Did you see him at the podium going, hey, man, I should be good next week? No, you won't. Dak Prescott will be out this weekend. I'm telling you that right here on a Monday morning. And then also CeeDee Lamb getting a shoulder injury. Things certainly aren't looking up for the Cowboys. But Jerry Jones goes, you know what? Trade deadline's coming up. I'll make some moves because why? They're all in, baby.
He hadn't made any moves in the offseason. The only move he should make is firing Mike McCarthy today. Dak Prescott set to undergo an MRI on that hamstring injury. We'll have the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, here a little bit later to tell us what actually is going on. Back and forth affair yesterday in Western New York. There is no doubt that with Tua Tagovailoa back for the Dolphins, they're a better looking football team. And yet, the record still shows 2-6. Buffalo wins its 4th consecutive game to improve to 7-2. Tyler Bass misses an extra point, but drills a 61-yard field goal to win it. Sure, 30-27. Buffalo on top.
Boy, they absolutely own the Miami Dolphins and all that talent on the Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa comes back 2 weeks ago. Yeah, they're 0-2. They're 2-6. It's a wrap on the Dolphin season. But on the other side, the Buffalo Bills, they're in that top 3 in the AFC. That's a good-looking football team right now, and they pulled out a victory yesterday. Yes, on a 61-yard field goal. They'll take it. That's a big divisional win.
Listen, a win is a win. Buffalo did get that, not the cover. The Fins do cover as a 5.5-point dog. All right, weekend that was in college football. Marquee matchup, top 5 tilt, in-state college, Pennsylvania. Who would have to win the football game? Ryan Day entered 2-6 against AP top 5 opponents. James Franklin just 3-17 against the AP top 10. Now make it 1-10 against Ohio State and 1-13 against the AP top 5. As Ohio State wins on the road in Happy Valley, leaving happier than that of the Nittany Lions, 20-13. The Buckeyes cover as a 3.5-point road favorite. Total of 47.5 does stay under.
I spend most of my Saturdays on the soccer pitch here, Ben, watching my daughter. But there's one thing I know about college football. When Penn State has a big game that they need to win and are not favored to win that game, they never win that football game. So all you handicappers, the sharps out there, how could you take Penn State on Saturday? It's an automatic loss every single time they're in that spot. And it was a loss this weekend as well.
31 times an underdog for James Franklin at the helm of Penn State now in his 11th season. 15-16 against the spread and just 7 outright wins to back up what Donnie Wrightside is saying. But a chaotic opening weekend in November ahead of the first CFP ranking of the 12-team era tomorrow night. A&M falls on the road in Columbia. Iowa State upset against in their matchup. The Texas Tech Red Raiders forgot for a second. And Clemson has its 6-game win streak snapped at home. Louisville goes on the road and wins outright. Some chaos to start off the final month of the regular season in CFB.
Look, that wasn't a slip there that you forgot about Iowa State, because the Big 12 should actually be a group of five team, not a power five conference in football. So no shame in that one here. But you're taking a look at Clemson. And at least I was in the Phil Mafia on Saturday night with an anytime touchdown in the second half. Cash it in times two, baby. Who cares if Clemson won? They cashed my ticket for me. Love that school.
Over 97 and a half rushing yards. Bang, bang for Phil Moffa. Kansas State loses to Houston. So many ranked teams going down on Saturday. Paul George set to make his debut for the Philadelphia 76ers tonight on the road in the Valley against the Suns. Donnie right side fired up.
Knock them out, baby. Knock those reporters out, Sixers. Let's go.
More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A statement made on Sunday in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The Detroit Lions looked the part of the best team in the National Football League as of this moment, as live right here on this Monday on the Early Line, Donnie Wrightside and myself, Ben Stevens, recap everything you need to know from week number 9 in the NFL Sunday slate. The Lions, DRS, playing on a wet and sloppy track inside Lambeau Field, a team that could not possibly win outdoors outside of a dome stadium, looked to be the better team for all 60 minutes against Jordan Love and the Pack yesterday. The Lions are now 7-1. The Lions win 24-14 and absolutely dominate the Packers in Lambeau. The Lions cover as a 2.5-point favorite. A total of 47.5 stays well under. Detroit is 7-1. And Donnie, as we said to open up the show, KC plays on this Monday night to end out week 9 hosting the Buccaneers. The Chiefs are the two-time reigning Super Bowl champs and the only undefeated team left in the NFL. They have the pedigree and all of the acclaim, but the Lions look like the actual best team in the National Football League at this moment.
Absolutely they do. I love them. 7-1 at this point. Let's also understand the evolution of the football season, Ben. Coming into it, it's like, wow, Detroit really doesn't play too many teams outside. The Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. That's crazy. They just won that game in the pouring rain. They'll play the Bears a little bit later. But then if you get to the playoffs and they're the top seed, Ben, they're in a dome all the way through the NFC. And oh yeah, how about Super Bowl Sunday? Where's that game at? It's New Orleans in another dome. I love everything about this Lions team. Now, what I need them to do at the trade deadline is go out and pick up a defensive end, just to bolster that pass rush. But let's get back to yesterday's game where you saw the rainy conditions. And we were talking about yesterday on Pro Football Today. Boy, could that affect Detroit? Like, we know they're built with the best offensive line and built with probably the best tandem of running backs. So they should be okay. But you never understand, like, hey, Jared Goff, that indoor quarterback, not the biggest arm, but certainly really accurate, is going to get thrown off by 15 to 30 mile an hour gusting winds and the rainy conditions. My guy went outdoors, went 18 of 22 for a buck 45 and one touchdown, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're just moving the chains and continue to put the pressure on the Green Bay Packers, that's what really adds up. A passer rating of close to 110. I can't say it enough. Like, I love, Ben, everything I see from this Detroit team. They're built to win at every single level on offense, and if they are a dome team, they're not built like it because, as I said, the best ground game coupled with the best offensive line at the same time, and it works in spades, man. This team is absolutely on it for that one slip up against Tampa Bay where they got into the red zone 7 times and scored 1 touchdown. Outside of that game, that offense has been absolutely phenomenal and ultra efficient.
DRS, they were outgained, that being Detroit, by 150 yards yesterday. They put up only 261 yards, averaged less than 4 yards per carry on that sloppy track of Lambeau Field, and still won the game by double digits. And it was a late touchdown by the Packers when the game was really out of hand that even made it just 10 points. The Lions led 17-3 at the break because Jordan Love, who we knew early in the weekend was going to start in this game despite dealing with the groin injury, continues to be a turnover machine. He has played in 7 games this year. He has thrown an interception in all 7, 9 INTs in total, including a pick 6 late in the opening half that gave the Lions that 17-3 lead. Jared Goff does not miss. The efficiency this year, 18 of 22, designed and schemed perfectly by Ben Johnson. All right, our quarterback's from Northern California. He doesn't play well outside of a dome. Let's make sure this game is as easy as possible against a good and opportunistic Packers secondary. They just look, Donnie, like a team that cannot lose, even when they are outgained by 150 yards. And again, the Lions cover as a short 2.5-point road favorite in Lambeau. The fact they were even laying points on the road in Lambeau, outdoors, against a 6-2 Packers team speaks to the strength of Detroit. And Donnie, ever since Dan Campbell came in and made himself infamous, if you will, at least very notable in the NFL for his biting kneecaps comment in his introductory press conference to start off the 2021 NFL season, all the Lions do cover the number. Now 44-18 against the spread under Dan Campbell. Early, it was the underdog keeping games closer than expected. Now it's as a favorite each and every week in covering numbers. It is a 71% cover percentage under Dan Campbell. Since the start of 2021, DRS, no other NFL organization is covering in more than 61%. The Lions are at a 71% hit rate. It is unbelievable how good, disciplined, and solid this team is. Detroit has never played in a Super Bowl in franchise history. I truly believe that changes this season.
It does, and a lot of things have changed, right? It used to be like, hey, let's watch the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day because it's the only good team that's going to play that we can root for or against. And now it looks like the Dallas Cowboys are horrendous like Detroit Lions were for the past 40 years. Now Detroit on Thanksgiving Day is going to be the lead. So maybe we should move them to that, 425 spot instead of the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure.
But by the way, Lions, enjoy this while you have it. Ben Johnson is going to make so much money on the open market if he chooses to be a head coach somewhere and you serve the tea leaves where he actually wanted that job for the Chicago Bears. Matt Eberflus, after a couple of those performances last week and yesterday, he might be on the way out. So watch out, Lions. You might get Ben Johnson coaching against you next year here. Enjoy. I'm enjoying it, and I'm betting on it, and I love my Detroit Lions.
Matt Eberfluser, he has lost the Chicago Bears locker room. He is out very, very soon. Yeah. Now for Detroit DRS. Again, Dan Campbell, not just a cover machine, but a historic head coach in the Motor City. Led the Lions last year to their first divisional crown in three decades. First playoff win in 32 years. Detroit now expected to do exactly that. We've been singing and harping the praises to the Motor City. DRS for Green Bay, the Packers still a 6-3 football team. Did yesterday's loss in Jordan Love's turnover-worthy plays a ton this year change your evaluation overall on the Pack?
No, not at all, because I do still think they're making the players. They're ultra-talented, and the NFL is built on one game. They can rise to the occasion and beat good football teams like the Lions, but it just yesterday just proved to me how much better the Lions are than everybody else in the NFC. Yeah. But once again, to your initial question, Ben, I'm not down on the Packers. I expected them to lose yesterday. They did. Yeah. They'll be fine. They'll make the playoffs, and we'll watch it play out.
Their NFC North price took a huge, huge hit.
Yeah.
The Packers still fifth best number to win the NFC at +950. Yep. The Lions number, as short as we have seen, +240. Now a full $2.10 in front of the San Francisco 49ers. Hop on the bandwagon now in the Motor City. More around Sunday slate up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Is the 2024 season for the Dallas Cowboys done by the midway point of the year? It would seem so. Dallas dropping yet another road game, dropping its third consecutive to fall to 3-5 yesterday in Atlanta. We'll talk about the Falcons cruising right now in a weak NFC South, as was anticipated after the acquisition of Kirk Cousins. But yesterday, the Dirty Birds winning 27-21. The game even decided DRS by a single score because of a late Cooper Rush touchdown pass to Jalen Tolbert. Is that because Dak was struggling? Well, yeah, kind of, but also injured his hamstring throughout the game. He is set to have an MRI. What exactly does his future hold this season? We shall debate. But Donnie, when you see the final score in the overall record for the Cowboys this year, 3-5, that is it. And the Falcons do cover as a 3-point home favorite yesterday in the A.
That's three straight losses now for the Dallas Cowboys. You take a look at that miracle win, it feels like, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where Dak led that touchdown drive late in the game. Then you get blown out by the Lions, you get beat up by the 49ers, and you get beat up by the Falcons. You know who your next couple games are against here for the Dallas Cowboys? The Philadelphia Eagles, the Houston Texans, and the Washington Commanders. The lights are going to be turned out possibly before we even get to Thanksgiving Day, which is absolutely incredible. And Thanksgiving Day is against the Giants. What an all. Maybe they can flex that game like out of Thanksgiving Day. Completely and put them like Sunday at 1 o'clock. That is a terrible one. But hear me out on this. As a handicapper, I understand. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys now are going anywhere on the season. And as I just told you, three straight tough games, they'd be lucky to go 1-2 in those games, which effectively would end their season. But late in this season, if they still stay healthy and their star outside linebackers per se, DeMarcus Lawrence and also Micah Parsons come back, there'll be times that we're going to bet on the Cowboys again. But right now, this is just a really, really bad football team in a rough stretch. And now, injured, things don't look good here. I can't wait to hear what Jerry Jones says this week, as if going out and getting a backup offensive lineman at the trade deadline is going to help them do anything. Dak will be down maybe for a minimum of a week. CD's already banged up at this point. Who knows when Micah Parsons and them are actually coming back. But again, next three games are tough. But that game yesterday didn't surprise anybody. They weren't going to win that game on the road. They're just not talented enough right now.
And DRS, you thought maybe, just maybe, there could be that chance, though, because Dallas is three wins all the way from the star this year. Two of them coming outright as an underdog. They're now 3-5 and 2-4 ATS as a dog this year. Already six times an underdog this season. In the first 4 years of Mike McCarthy's tenure at the star, starting in 2020, only an underdog 11 times, but they have not been good as an underdog. 12-15 ATS. The Falcons were not great at home entering yesterday. 1-4 against the number. They're now 6-3. They've covered in 5 of 6 wins. And Donnie, yesterday, when you actually look at the numbers for the Cowboys, not as bad as they have been. Rico Dowdle, big game, both as a receiver and as a running back. The Cowboys finally averaged more than 3 yards per carry, double that, 6.5 yards per pop. And yet they weren't close, and it was that late Cooper Rush touchdown pass that even made it a single-score game, and yet the Cowboys still failing to cover a number. And, Donnie, the one thing we give to Dallas always is regular season success. 9, 10, 11, 12 wins, maybe an NFC East title to earn a playoff spot. And then in the postseason, nothing, as we know, since their most recent Super Bowl in 1995, 13 playoff appearances, never even passed the divisional round. But this year, the Cowboys aren't even making the playoffs. The number is off the board because Dak Prescott is injured, but the Cowboys aren't getting there. It was a plus money price entering the weekend. It would be plus 300, plus 350 when that number comes back up on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, and a lot of teams, again, it's hard to say because, you know, back in the old days, like just six playoff teams here, it would be much harder to make the playoffs for the Dallas Cowboys. There's a lot of mediocrity in the NFC. It's very top-heavy, and a lot of teams like, hey, could really fade down the stretch. But if you are looking optimistically, as I said, the next three games for them are extremely tough. But then you do get the Giants, the Bengals, the Panthers, the injured Buccaneers, and then the Eagles and the Commanders to end it. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs at this point right now. But we've seen crazier things happen in the NFL, but it does determine a lot how with that injury for Dak Prescott is. If that's a week-to-week injury, that might be okay. But if that's an injury where he's down for 3 weeks here with this schedule and they go 0-3, yeah, they're not making the playoffs at this point. A hamstring injury for a quarterback, technically you can play. But if I'm any other team athlete, like they play the Eagles this weekend, I hope Dak Prescott shows up in that pocket because he won't be able to move and they'll bury him.
So we'll talk with Dr. Chow later in our third hour about the actual prognosis for Dak. Meanwhile, for Atlanta, minus 800 to win the NFC South. They just got to keep plodding along because nobody else in the division even has a winning record. More from Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More Week 9 Sunday slate NFL takeaways as we've reached the midway point of this 2024 season. Donnie, an intriguing line all week long that turned out to be intriguing because it was correct. The Ravens, 9.5, 8.5 point favorite against the Denver Broncos, a team two games above 500 that had won 5 of its last 6 entering, and a Ravens team booked as more than a TD favorite twice entering week number 9 this season that had lost outright in both. It turns out that Baltimore was a hefty favorite for the correct reasons, an absolute Baltimore bash yesterday against the Broncos in the Charm City. Lamar Jackson was healthy, and he was crisp once again, 41-10. The win for the flock over the Broncos, easily covering as a 9.5 point favorite. Heck, the Ravens almost went over the total by themselves, 46 and a hook does go over. The Ravens, after starting winless, DRS 0-2, now have won 6 of their last 7. Their 5-game win streak snapped last week in peculiar fashion against the Cleveland Browns. The Ravens in these 6 wins, 5-0-1 against the number. Baltimore over in 5 consecutive games. And when Lamar Jackson throws 3 touchdowns and Derrick Henry gets back over the century mark and hits Pater twice as well, you know it's going to be a lot of offense out of the Ravens in the Charm City.
Yeah, it's just crazy how football works, right? A week before, you lose to the lowly Cleveland Browns, who absolutely got spiked this weekend by the Chargers at home. And then you have the Baltimore Ravens come home against a good football team and the Denver Broncos playing the best football of the season at 5-3 and absolutely dismantle them in Baltimore, which now you're 3-1 at home. And you know what? Like, hey, they're a good home team. You know, lost to the Vegas Raiders early in the season. It's just like the NFL sometimes is so week to week, it's maddening. But Lamar Jackson, MVP caliber, absolutely. Derrick Henry getting 20 plus touches in a blowout and still rushing for 106 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. This is exactly what you wanted. Also, Zay Flowers, 5 for 127. Scary injury a couple weeks back there with that ankle. He's certainly fine at this point now. I love everything that I see out of the Baltimore Ravens. It did surprise me, but Ben, you are correct about this. When you are a handicapper and been around the block multiple times and you say, let me get this straight, a really good Broncos team getting roughly double digits playing their best football against a Ravens team that just lost to the Browns, and you say, yep, easy blowout victory, 41-10. Yeah. You are now a seasoned handicapping professional.
And hand up, maybe I am not. I had the Broncos in our 2-leg 6-point teaser to end out the pick 6 on Sunday, DRS, with Giovinari taking them up to 14.5. Still expecting the Ravens to win handily, but a Broncos defense that entered as the second best total and third best scoring defense just to keep the game within 2 touchdowns never even got close. Lamar Jackson, as many incompletions as touchdown passes yesterday, 3 in either category. Zay Flowers, 2 receiving touchdowns of the 3 that Lamar tossed. And Derrick Henry, who in the 5-game win streak had 92 plus yards in all 5, only 70 the week prior against Cleveland, back over the century mark with multiple rushing scores as well. The Ravens over in 8 of 9 games, but only allowing 10 points yesterday for a defense that was giving up nearly 26 entering week number 9. Really good back and forth affair, DRS, yesterday in Buffalo. And there is no doubt the Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa back under center are a much, much, much better football team that looks like they have a pulse. But at the end of the day, they're 2-6, and in both games, Tua Tagovailoa has returned in. They have looked good, but come up on the losing end because of a last-second late field goal. Last week at home against the Cardinals, Chad Ryland rocks it off for Arizona, 28-27. Yesterday, Tyler Bass drills a 61-yarder with 5 ticks remaining in regulation to propel Buffalo to a 30-27 victory over Miami.
Yeah, and a tough call, I believe, late in that game, which was a correctly called one. I believe it was a unnecessary roughing call on the wide receiver, smacking him in the head, which allowed that drive to get up by midfield. But if we are looking at this game optimistically for the Dolphins, that's back-to-back weeks. What, I think it was 27 points and 27 points. He didn't win any of those, but the offense looks like it's back at this point. Tua Tagovailoa with 231 yards. Now, he did actually have many more yards than that, but for that last play of the game, which somehow counts against your passing yards, where you have Jalen Waddle running backwards like 30 yards, that's a tough scene if you had Tua Tagovailoa over his passing prop, because I believe he had it until that last play. But Devon Achane looks explosive as ever, 12 for 63. Mostert, 10 for 56. Both of those guys carrying the football for over 5 yards per carry, and you don't win that game. You got to play on defense. And I know you like this, Ben, too. Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive coordinators in football. You see how it's playing out in Philadelphia right now. I just can't hope to go back to the offseason where the Dolphins players were so happy that Vic Fangio is out of town and they get torched on a week-to-week basis now. Maybe if it played a little bit of defense, Miami, you'd actually win some football games.
Yeah, Anthony Weaver, more player-friendly, as they say, in South Florida. But the results are not great for Miami either. DRS, to your point, Tua Tagovailoa, his passing yards prop in most spots, around 245 and a hook. Because of that, final play stays under. Sorry if you had that beat. But the efficiency in this Mike McDaniel offense, 25 of 28, 231 yards, two touchdowns. And yet, in a losing effort. Now, I'm not sure there is going to be calls for Mike McDaniel's job at the end of his third season in Miami, but he was awful without Tua Tagovailoa, and even with Tua back, the Dolphins are still losing football games, three consecutive losses. Donnie, they didn't cover as a 5.5-point dog yesterday in Western New York. Total of 48.5 does sky over. The Dolphins have scored more than 20 now in two consecutive weeks when they had not in their opening six games of this season. Again, all good signs. And yet, Miami is just 7-11 against the number as an underdog with McDaniel as the head coach since the start of 2022. More damning than that, though, only three outright victories of any underdog team that has been booked as a dog double-digit times in the last 2.5 years in the National Football League. The Dolphins, the second fewest amount of outright wins as an underdog. Only the Chargers, who have just one, have a worse straight-up record as an underdog. Meanwhile, for Buffalo, Tyler Bass, it's been a struggle this year. Doinked an extra point, or just missed the extra point earlier in the game to rally and hit a 61-yarder to win it with just 5 seconds remaining in regulation. Good for him. And now we look at this Buffalo team, Donnie. Four-game win streak. They started 3-0. They were perfect. They dropped two in a row. Okay, maybe some questions. They've won four straight. They've covered in three of those four wins. Buffalo is 7-2, and Josh Allen is the NFL MVP favorite.
Yeah, look, I love it. I think the AFC certainly has a lot more, you know, parity up top than it does in the NFC. It's counterpart here. And Josh Allen has been nothing short of phenomenal. If you remember telling you a couple weeks ago, they're going to go through a tough stretch here, which they did, which Josh Allen was that MVP favorite, drop back. Now he's the MVP favorite again because you hit that lull in the schedule. He's really good. They're going to win at every level. No Amari Cooper yesterday. It still didn't matter. They're going to be able to move the football. I'm waiting to see when Amari Cooper comes back and is ingrained in that offense. I like a lot about the Buffalo Bills. It's just, you still have the Kansas City Chiefs out there. You got the Baltimore Ravens. Now you got the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be fun to watch it play out, but I've liked the Buffalo Bills from what I saw this entirety of the season, even through that little down spot, which had a lot of tough road games there. They'll be just fine here. I like what I see.
20 total touchdowns out of Josh Allen, more than 2,000 passing yards now. That is top 10. His passing yardage has not been gaudy in many games this year, but still the numbers back it up. And maybe more importantly than the individual accolades is just the individual performances. Sadly for Josh Allen, he has thrown an interception now in two consecutive games after going the first seven without tossing an INT. But Donnie, even after Josh Allen started to play better football in 2020, he has thrown double-digit interceptions, in every single season. The last three, at least 14 since 2021. Only two right now through nine games for Buffalo. Yeah. Well on pace, of course, to keep that number under double digits. Josh Allen, the MVP favorite. Lamar Jackson playing MVP caliber football, and yet winning it twice in the last 5 years. Might there be some voter fatigue? Listen, I would keep an eye on Jared Goff. The numbers, the yardage has not been overwhelming, but the efficiency, Donnie, has been fantastic. We will talk more about the NFL and the Sunday slate and week number 9 as we continue here in a football-focused opening hour on the opening day of a new week on the Early Line. I'm next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday night football in Minneapolis between the Vikings and the Colts. Of course, Indianapolis, a huge story getting ready for the Week 9 Sunday slate. Shane Steichen, the head man in Indy, making the call, benching fourth overall pick from 2023, Anthony Richardson, in favor of the near 40-year-old quarterback in Joe Flacco. And DRS, I thought that would mean we would see a lot of offense on Sunday night, that Flacco would be ripping and raring back there. I was incorrect. Indianapolis did not score a single offensive touchdown. A scoop and score and a return on a fumble was the only touchdown, the only scoring we saw in the opening half. But Sam Darnold overcoming the turnovers. He threw two INTs, did have that strip sack on a questionable sack when he was banged right in the head with an arm across the helmet. Regardless, the Vikings overcome the three turnovers, and Sam Darnold throws three touchdowns in the second half, and the Vikings get back into the win column, improving to 6-2, 21-13 over the Colts. Minnesota covers as a 5.5-point home favorite.
He had some tremendous plays out of Sam Darnold, then some tremendously bad plays. But as long as that defense under Brian Flores was absolutely clicking, didn't give up an offensive touchdown yesterday, you can lean on that. Because Darnold, if you just look at 28 of 34 for 290, you love that, and three touchdown passes. But the two interceptions, bad, and also the fumble that he took in the pocket, which was really bad as well. Still a passer rating of 107. You'll live with that out of Sam Darnold, who theoretically is your backup quarterback. They improved the 6-2, but also the question marks coming up on the Colts. Like, Anthony Richardson wouldn't have made a difference in that game overall, but Flacco didn't look his best. Three sacks all in that last drive, I believe, for 20 total yards. His QBR rating, though, which is stacked out of 100, was 14.6. This wasn't the gunslinging Joe Flacco that we're used to seeing in the past, letting it rip downfield. Right. And maybe that's a lot to do with Brian Flores disguising those defenses and certainly bringing the heat on him. Jonathan Taylor, pedestrian, 13 carries for 48 yards. Big fumble to start out that game. Maybe that game would have got off on a different trajectory where you might have had a double-digit lead for the Colts to be able to hold on. But no excuses for the Colts. You're up a touchdown at the break. You should be able to close that game out, but the offense really responded for the Minnesota Vikings, and that was backed on Justin Jefferson, the best wide receiver in football, 7 for 137, an average of 19.6 yards. The guy's open every single play. Just get him the football. Solid win for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not in the gutter for the Colts just yet because they're still in that divisional race, but it's apparently looking like they're going to start Joe Flacco next week as well.
Yeah, listen, Shane Steichen said that last week. This wasn't a one-week fix or a Band-Aid. Joe Flacco gives what they feel is a playoff team the best chance of reaching the postseason. Anthony Richardson is going to have to learn from this. But if that, Joe Flacco less than a buck 80, no touchdowns, and an interception is the result, and I understand it's a one-week sample size, but if that's it, and Flacco now has started three games for Indy. They're 1-2 straight up with a loss to Jacksonville, who is a dead team right now. Might as well let Anthony Richardson go out there and take his lumps. Minnesota, who had covered in its opening five wins of the year, covers last night. The Colts, Donnie, a perfect 5-0 against the spread as an underdog entering. 7-1 ATS overall. One of the best cover teams in the NFL this year. They do not cover that 5.5-point spread. Donnie, I think the question around the Vikings is not, okay, is Minnesota a Super Bowl contender? But they start off as one of the two remaining undefeated teams at 5-0 alongside Kansas City. They lose two consecutive. Now back into the win column, they have covered in all six victories. Sam Darnold had one pass hit the turf last night, 28 of 34, three touchdown passes and two interceptions, or maybe a couple more in terms of those incompletions, as I got a little bit excited there because completions, of course, result in touchdowns. Regardless, a solid game overall for Sam Darnold. The question, DRS, for the Vikings, you see the -320 playoff number. As this season progresses into November, into December, will the Vikings be there at the end of the road? Do you still view Minnesota as a playoff team?
Absolutely, because again, it's about the schedule, because you know they're going to play a lot of those divisional really good. But look at the upcoming schedule. Jaguars, Titans, and Bears. Three games on the road? These are the best three games you could ever ask for on the road right now with the Jags, Titans, and Bears. You should go at least 2-1. Then you come home and play the Cardinals, Falcons, and Bears at home. And who knows where the Lions are going to be at the end of the season on that last game. Probably already have the NFC wrapped up. Knowing Dan Campbell, he'll probably go full blast and try to beat the team. So it's one of those different coaches that you might want to watch out for. But the schedule is actually kind to the Minnesota Vikings. And yes, they will make the playoffs. Three teams from the NFC North will be in the playoffs. The Vikings will be one of them.
Yep, I agree, DRS. I really, really do, which makes those wild card spots elsewhere around the conference a little bit more tricky to iron through. Yeah. Under 46.5 on a Sunday night, under and four straight for Indy. To your point, Donnie, Minnesota's defense, a lot better yesterday. Top 10 scoring defense in the National Football League, but they had gone over in three of four entering, and they had given up 29 points or more in all three of those overs. Not a single offensive touchdown yesterday. All right, Minnesota, as we go on from what we saw in Minneapolis now to Cincinnati, after an 0-3 start, very little margin of error, of course, for the Bengals. No margin of error yesterday. Cincinnati blows out the Raiders 41-24. The Bengals cover as a 7.5-point favorite. Donnie, inexplicably, perhaps, they lose last week as a slight home favorite against Philadelphia. Got manhandled, losing by 20 points. They have, after the 0-3 start, 1-4 of 6. They are trending up right now in Cincy.
No, they are trending up. And even after that game last week where the Philadelphia Eagles absolutely blasted them, you knew they'd get a win because the lowly Raiders are coming to town. But now we see at the Ravens, at the Chargers, and the Steelers. Your best bet in that is to go hopefully 1-2. I still don't think that they're going to be able to make the playoffs due to that stretch coming up. And again, you don't stop getting injured. But let's just focus on yesterday and what made sense. The week before, my best bet on Pro Football Today was over 1.5 touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes against the Raiders. Why? Because the Raiders have the worst cover defense in football. So I said, you know what? Why mess up a good thing here? Joe Burrow down to basically one wide receiver because everybody's been injured. I didn't care. Made it my best bet again yesterday, and he threw him quickly. What do you have, 4 or 5 touchdowns total in that game, touchdown passes?
Five.
It went over easily because that is a bad organization for the Vegas Raiders. It's just a shame the way this season set up for the Bengals to start the season. So much animosity from the wide receivers. They weren't able to click in camp here. The defense is abysmal, but the one thing we do know is Joe Burrow is a damn good quarterback, and he is fun to bet on.
5 touchdowns yesterday, 2 of them to his new tight end, Mike Gesicki. The Bengals win total updated to 8.5, a slight minus money price, but that would actually be more favor to miss the playoffs than to make. But the AFC, not as strong as we once thought. More from Sunday. We continue next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday, recapping a full weekend in the National Football League on the early line. The Commanders, they just keep winning football games. Now 7-2, the record for Washington. A cover in all 7 victories this year. Yesterday on the road in MetLife, the Commanders win 27-22. Covering as a 3.5-point favorite, going over 42 and a hook. A cover in all 7 wins for the Commanders, over in 6 of 9 games. We got to update the jerseys on the right. I believe that is the football team, Washington, now the Commanders. The G-Men DRS, an underdog in 24 consecutive games, 11-12-1 ATS. About what the Giants would be this year. They have not covered in 4 games in a row. Jaden Daniels, multiple touchdown passes. Daniel Jones, multiple touchdown passes as well for New York. His first time throwing a touchdown pass in MetLife since New Year's Day 2023. More than 620 days since his last touchdown pass. He does throw one once again. He didn't play for all of those games, hadn't thrown a TD pass, and only 6 consecutive home games. Does yesterday. The Giants still lose and don't cover.
By the way, I look at this final score, and I was talking about it yesterday on the show. Like, I wanted to see what Washington was going to do after such an emotional win the week previous, playing basically a dead team on the road, how they would be able to get up for this game. Well, they did, 21-7 at the break. And you could say held on for a victory, but they were never really out of, let's just say, non-control for me, and also getting the win and the cover. But you see Jaden Daniels, 15 of 22, ultra efficient, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating close to 130. I love that. That shows the maturity of this young quarterback and this team learning on the fly how to win once again, and they're doing it. I liked everything I saw of the Washington Commanders. You even had, you know, coming up to game day, Robinson, you didn't think he was going to play. He was down. He's got some pretty good impact there. Chris Rodriguez Jr., 11 for 52. Austin Eckler, 11 for 42. Daniels, we know he can run even McNichols for 20. 38 carries for 149 yards on the road and a touchdown. That was a good win for the Washington Commanders, which once again, Ben, showed me a lot. Coming off of that game last week, that's an impressive performance on the road. It shows they're talented enough to win this division.
Yeah, absolutely, Donnie. And they are going to be there all season long. Terry McLaurin, two touchdown catches yesterday, each of the touchdown tosses that Daniels did throw. He's already got six through nine games. You got to feel for a guy like Terry McLaurin that has played with everybody as a part of this Washington organization in his first 5 years in the NFL. His career best touchdown receptions in a season, seven in his rookie campaign. Probably going to be over that in 3 to 4 weeks at bare minimum. Mm-hmm. So good for Scary Terry. Not good for the other rookie quarterback on display on Sunday. Oh, boy. You questioned, Donnie, how the Bears would bounce back from the Hail Mary and the disastrous ending in Landover against the Commanders now two Sundays ago. It turns out the resolve is awful. It was a peculiar week for the Bears. We learned pregame that Tyreek Stevenson, the guy that made the mistake on the Hail Mary, was benched, left practice, came back after he collected himself. All of the Bears players, rightfully so, are blaming the coaching staff. Matt Eberfluser looks even more lost than he ever has in his previous two seasons. Shane Waldron is a joke of an offensive coordinator, all leading to the Cardinals blowing out the Bears as Chicago does not find the end zone offensively. Arizona wins 29-9, covering easily as a slight point and a half favorite at home. Under 44 and a hook is how that game comes through. Arizona has won three in a row, DRS, the only team currently at 5-4 with a winning record in the NFC West.
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon certainly getting these guys to play hard, and it's rightfully so. Now 5-4. But I do want to focus here on the Chicago Bears. Now stood at 4-4, 0-4 on the road. You can almost equate it a little bit to Florida State style, Ben. Remember last year, oh, look how good Florida State is. Then they absolutely got obliterated in their bowl game, which they gave up. And it was a carryover effect, which shows you a lot about leadership, and that reflects what your team is going to do. Florida State never woke up because their coach is horrible and can't motivate them. Matt Eberflus, in a moment where it's like, you know what, that's a teaching moment. Our mistake here, we let that one get away. Let's go on the road against an Arizona team and really perform, and they got shelled from the opening start here. Caleb Williams, 22 of 41. Like, coming into the season, I was joking about every single coach, even Andy Reid, should be making phone calls to the Chicago Bears. How can they get in on this startup because of how good this Ferrari looks in the garage? And then you keep Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron as your offensive coordinator. This is what you're going to get. Maybe Grandma Bear can put some better people in better positions here next year so they actually have a fighting chance. This is a talented football team, woefully underachieving.
Because of a woeful coaching staff. As we said last week, Jaden Daniels is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. The odds only getting better yesterday. Hour two is up next.